New York consumers are worried and afraid. That's according to the latest consumer sentiment survey by Siena College. Doug Lundstrom is founder of Siena's Research Institute. He says consumer confidence is down nearly 12 points from where it was in June.
They're worried about inflation. They're worried about jobs. They're worried about all sorts of things, world affairs. I got friends who won't even look at the news. They're so afraid.
Lundstrom says consumers have fewer plans to buy big ticket items like cars, furniture, and homes. He says economic worries become a self-fulfilling prophecy because if people think things are going to get bad and they pull back on spending, the economy will suffer.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, New York could add an amendment to its constitution. One Connecticut town gets good marks for police body cam footage, and how whales are struggling to keep up with climate change.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. On Election Day, New York voters will consider a proposal to add an amendment to the state constitution. Von Golden has more.
Proposal 2 would add to the state Bill of Rights, quote, "Each person shall have a right to clean air and water and a healthful environment."
So that's it.
Michael Gerard is a professor of environmental law at Columbia Law School.
It's not entirely clear what legal impact this would have. It might make it easier for citizens to bring litigation for violations of the environmental laws, but the overall implications of it are not completely clear and would really have to be spelled out by the courts.
The goal is pretty straightforward, though. Ensure that New York citizens have clean air and clean water, and that courts protect that right. There are some, but not too many, groups concerned that this may open the door for onerous lawsuits. But Gerard doesn't think it'll be that bad.
Well, I think it'll lead to at least a trickle of lawsuits. And how many of them would emerge, we really don't know.
There are currently 6 states that have similar language to New York's in their state constitution, one of which is Pennsylvania. On the ballot, a yes vote would be for adding the amendment, and a no vote would oppose adding the amendment. I'm Vaughn Golden for WSHU News.
Police in one Connecticut town got good marks for their conduct in a study of 500 hours of body camera footage. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports it's one of the first studies of its kind to look at how police interact with the public.
James McCabe is a retired NYPD inspector and a Sacred Heart University criminal justice professor. The police chief of Newtown, Connecticut, asked him what they could learn from body camera footage. McCabe and 2 students went through the footage recorded over 2 months in 2020.
We looked at the overall satisfaction of the encounter. We looked at whether or not force was used. We looked at whether or not there was an escalation in the encounter.
Police got good marks on all those criteria, as well as transparency, tone of voice, and fairness.
There was only 3 encounters that they rated where the civilian appeared dissatisfied with the service, and these had to do with enforcement events where they were either given speeding tickets or arrested. It was a nice thing to see, the really positive quality of the encounters between the officers and the public.
But McCabe worries the results may have been too positive, and it may point to issues with the study. He says he wants to refine the study and try it again to check for any problems with methodology. Studies of body cameras in Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., and other cities have shown they have little effect on officers' conduct with the public. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Waters in our region are warming up, and it's forcing marine life to adapt. More on that coming up, but first headlines and a message from After All Things supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer wants the TSA to make contingency plans for staff shortages over the holidays. That's after the TSA announced 40% of the agency's staff are still not vaccinated against COVID-19. Schumer says the TSA could hire more security dogs if staffers get sick or laid off for refusing to meet the vaccine mandate. The deadline for federal employees to be fully vaccinated is November 22nd.
Today is the deadline for New Yorkers to apply to their County Board of Elections to receive an absentee ballot for the November 2nd election. Suffolk County residents can submit their application by mail, online, email, or fax as long as it's dated today. Unlike last year, voters will have to provide a reason if they want to vote by mail. Voters may ask for an absentee ballot by checking the box on the application for a permanent or temporary illness, if they are worried about catching COVID-19 if they vote in person.
Connecticut State Colleges and Universities will partner with Amazon and the Connecticut Office of Workforce Strategy to train students on cloud computing technology. The hope is to fill high-tech jobs across the state. All state community colleges will offer non-credit courses and certificates to teach skills needed for in-demand careers in technical fields. Warming ocean waters are changing where whales and dolphins go for food. That's according to new research at Stony Brook University. J.D. Allen, host of WSHU's new climate podcast, Higher Ground, spoke with scientist Leslie Thorne about her research for the series. Now that it's published, he's following up.
Leslie, your new study that shows some fish and squid are diving deeper into cooler waters doesn't always work for whales.
So unlike whales, which are air-breathing vertebrates and have to return to the surface regularly to breathe, fish can stay underwater and can therefore seek out these different depths and stay at those deeper depths, whereas whales have to return regularly to the surface to breathe. In the case of longfin pilot whales, the species that we were studying, they're capable of diving very deep in the water column, but they're actually quite short dives. So we see that temperatures that are most important are actually surface temperatures because they're spending more of their time proportionally at the surface as opposed to at those deep depths that they go to for these quick foraging dives.
The whales have decided for the last 25 years to head north. Is that because they're following the movement of some of their other prey?
The prey species actually didn't shift as far northward, as far poleward, as the whales, which is not really what we expected to see. So there's often sort of an assumption that whales are going to change, are going to move in relation to their prey primarily. What we found actually suggests the opposite, that we see very rapid warming in the Northwest Atlantic and particularly in the Gulf of Maine, in the Northeast U.S., very rapid warming. Other papers have found that this region is warming faster than 99% of the Earth's ocean surface.
99% faster? How is any species supposed to keep up with that?
Well, it seems that they respond in very different ways, you know, depending on their thermal tolerances, depending on their distributions and their movement abilities. And what we saw, a range of different climate responses in the prey species. So one of the fish species did move northward as temperatures shifted north and warmed in the Gulf of Maine in particular. We saw another species that shifted northward a bit, but also shifted into deeper offshore waters. And then we found two other species that shifted into deeper offshore waters. So we looked at all of these movements in relation to what we call climate velocity, which is describing essentially how quickly an animal would have to move in order to remain at a constant temperature. So we actually found that the whales were moving faster than expected based on that climate velocity, so based on that physical change in the water temperature, but that the prey species were either moving as expected or slower in that northward direction. And again, we think that's because they were able to experience cooler temperatures by going deeper rather than moving northward.
What does that tell you when the climate velocity is different from the predator and the prey? It, they would probably need to be at the same rate if one's going to catch the other. But if they're moving at different rates, doesn't that interrupt how they feed?
Well, that's a great question in terms of how species are responding. And, you know, what you'd expect is that most species would try to stay, you know, within thermal tolerance range. But what we actually see is that the relationships are more complicated than that. So again, species are not all responding in the same way. And we think there are a lot of factors that could influence that, including different traits of species. So things like how long they can live, how big they are, their body size, the range of their distribution, their mobility, that influence how species respond to that changing water temperature.
Leslie Thorne is an assistant professor in the School of Marine and Atmospheric Sciences at Stony Brook University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Join scientists and WSHU's J.D. Allen on the new climate podcast, Higher Ground, available wherever you get your podcasts.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org.
And as always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news@wshu.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.